Now today, as we come to the 16th chapter of 2 Kings, I'm sure that many of you are finding it just a bit confusing, and also it may be you're not finding this as interesting as some other sections. If you're interested in history, this is intensely interesting. If you are interested in spiritual lessons, for us today, something that's very practical, why, I think you also will find this extremely helpful to us today, because all of these things happened unto them for examples. Now we are following here both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And just as we are going through the Bible in both the Old and New Testaments, we take some of the Old Testament, then the New Testament, then we then come back to the Old, and then we have some there, and go to the New and have some there. And we advance on two fronts. And as soon as we finish 2 Kings, we'll be going to the Epistle to the Romans in the New Testament. Now we have here in Kings the line of the family of David followed in the southern kingdom of Judah, but not exclusively, because there is interwoven all along the kings in the northern kingdom. Now, as we've said, there hasn't been a good king in the lot, and we have now come down quite a ways. In fact, we are right now at the time when we're going to see the end of the northern kingdom. The next chapter, we'll see Assyria come down and take them into captivity. Now, as we come here, we saw last time, and I probably should mention it, that we are told that after Jotham had reigned, he'd been a good king, Micah the prophet prophesied during this period. Isaiah was living during that period. And then Ahaz came to the throne. Ahaz was not a good king, a bad king. And it was at this time that Pekah, who was the king in the northern kingdom, and he's a bad king, because all of them are bad up there, then Hoshea plotted against him and formed a conspiracy and slew him, murdered him, and he became actually the last king. Now in chapter 16, we back up just a little, because we're told now in the 17th year of Pekah, he reigned 20 years before he was murdered. This was in his 17th year. The son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Now Ahaz, as we've indicated, was not a good king, a bad king. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. He didn't do what was right, which actually means he did wrong. Verse 3, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and they were bad. Yea, and he made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. Now he did a very terrible thing, which was the offering of children to God. That is, to a pagan heathen god. Generally it was to Marduk or to Baal. And it was about as low as you could go spiritually. And this was the thing that Ahaz turned to. We are told that he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. In other words, he went the whole route into idolatry and pagan and heathen worship. Now we find that while he was king, Pekah came up against him. And what happened was this, and Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. Now, Isaiah has an extended section on this. In fact, if you go over to the prophecy of Isaiah, which we'll not take time to do today, But we find out that in Isaiah, the 7th chapter through the 10th, and this is a very important section, you have in it the mention of the virgin birth of Christ, and you have in it also the mention of the fact that there is coming one whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, and so on. So Isaiah's prophesying at this time to this man, Ahaz, who will not listen to God. He is trying to get help from down in the land of Egypt, and very frankly, he wasn't doing very well down there. And so Isaiah challenged him to trust God. And Ahaz then made an appeal to Assyria for help, and the Assyrians, they take Damascus. The fact of the matter is, that actually was not good at all, because it opened up the door for the Assyrians to come down, and they ultimately took the northern kingdom into captivity. Now we read in verse 5, "Then Rezin, king of Syria, Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him." God had given the prophecy that he'd not be overcome. And at that time, I'm reading verse 6, "Now Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria, and drave the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day." That is, up to the time that 2 Kings was written. Now, this is the first time that the word Jew is mentioned in the Bible. And there'll be mention, of course, quite a few times after this. But Israel now gets the term Jews. And I want to call particular attention to this because of the fact that there are those today who are actually anti-Semitic, and they talk about the fact that that name applied only to Judah. Well, it's quite interesting. The first time it's used, it applies to those that are up in the north, up on the border of Syria, actually. So that I think that that will not hold water at all. All 12 tribes were given that name. Now we're told in verse 7, "So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I'm thy servant, thy son, come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria." He shouldn't have done that, but he did. And we're told, verse 8, "And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria." And so the Assyrians now, they're bribed pretty well. The king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus. Now that's up in Syria. He took it, and he carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar, the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. And he wanted one built down in the land. All the time, this man, Isaiah, is prophesying to him and actually against him because of what he's doing. Now, will you notice, as we move on through this chapter, we are told that this great altar that he had seen in Damascus that had impressed him, no longer worshiping the living and true God, he has this altar, a duplicate of it, built down in the land of Judah. And notice now, we are told here, verse 17, "And King Ahaz cut off the borders of the bases, removed the laver from off them, and took down the sea from off the brazen oxen that was under it, and put it upon a pavement of stone." Now he took down, you see, the altar of the living and true God. And we're told in the covert for the Sabbath that they had built in the house and the king's entry without turned thee from the house of the Lord for the king of Assyria. Now notice, now the rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Ahaz slept with his father, was buried with his fathers, in the city of David, and Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we come to not only a good king, but one who also led in revival. As I've said before, we're going to be talking about revivals in not only 2 Kings, but also when we get to Chronicles.